the pleasure and privilege of having as our guest lecturer today Rabbi Ralph Palkovitz. Rabbi Palkovitz is the spiritual leader of the Knesset Yisrael Synagogue, popularly known as the White Shul in Far Rockaway. Rabbi Palkovitz has always been, and we hope will continue to be, one of our most popular lecturers. Thank you, Rabbi Palkovitz.
Good morning. Can you hear me? Is it all right? Okay, fine. Very good. I remember I once went to deliver a talk at a dinner, and they were having trouble with the mic. And the chairman, wanted to apologize. So as I was standing there, he walks over to the mic, and he says, "You'll have to excuse us." He says, there's a nut loose in the speaker. The assignment that was given to us this year, by us, I mean the lecturers who come for the first lecture each Wednesday morning, is indeed a very challenging one, a very difficult one. I remember years ago, I used to teach Chumash every Friday night, Chumash and Mefarshim, and we did not go according to the Seder. We went straight. I began when I first arrived in Far Rockaway, and we began with Bereishis. It took us many, many years to go through Bereishis and Shmos. We skipped absolutely nothing. And then when it came to Vayikra, this was about 15 years later, if not more, so they asked me if we were going to study Vayikra, and I said yes. And little did I know that once I began teaching Vayikra, I would lose about 50% of my Talmidim and Talmidos, because Vayikra is a very difficult kind of a sefer. And it's one that does not lend itself to what we would call a popular presentation. But then again, who says it's supposed to be a popular presentation? Vayikra is an essential part of Torah. There's another name that is given to Vayikra, as you know, it's called Torah's Kahanim. And therefore, Torah's Kahanim implies that this was given primarily to the priestly caste, and that they should know what the halachas are and the dinim. But it goes much deeper and broader than that, as you've already learned, because this is not the first lecture. You've already had some lectures on Vayikra and even on Tzad. And this morning, my assignment is to speak to you about the area, the theme of Kedusha and Yira. And I will say from the very outset that I'm going to concentrate mostly on the Kedusha aspect, that which we call Kedusha or sanctity. Now, how does Kedusha Bechlal come into Parshas Tzav? And this is Parshas Tzav that we are learning. And the only answer I can give to that, since I did not devise or plan or prepare the program, is that it deals, of course, with the charge that is given to the Kahanim. And the Kahanim have a special kind of Kedusha. The Kahanim have their own Kedusha, and in turn they're supposed to somehow convey it to Klal Yisrael as well. And in the Parsha of Tzav, you have the dedication of the Kohanim. You have their consecration. In other words, their inauguration. In other words, they are brought into office in a special kind of a ceremony, which is discussed at the conclusion of Parsha Tzav. And there, the Aharon, who became the Kohen Gadol, he became the high priest. His sons who became Kohanim, each one goes through a ceremony of dedication, and they are invested into their office. And I'd like to begin with that just to give you some kind of a sort of an introduction into the whole area of Kedusha. You will recall, incidentally, that the Kedusha of the Kohanim, the sanctity of the Kohanim, which sort of mirrors and is mirrored by the Kedusha of Am Yisrael, because we, when we are charged, we are told, I remember once mentioning to a class, notice that the Torah does not say to the Jewish people, be good. It doesn't say be good. It doesn't even basically say to us, be ethical, be kind, be moral. There's really only one imperative that we find in the Torah. It's very clear. And that imperative is Kedoshim Tehi. In other words, we are commanded to be a holy people, to be a sacred people. Now, we need teachers. We need those who serve as the guide, the instructors. And so, we have our Kedusha, Kedushas Am Yisrael. And there's a lot of Kedushas. That's the Kedusha of a people. Then there's Kedusha in time. There's sanctity in time. Shabbos is Shabbos Kodesh. Yom Tovim, holidays, also have their Kedusha. We make Kiddush. And we make Kiddush whether it's a Friday night or whether it's a night of a Yom Tov, because we sanctify the day, and the day in and of itself has sanctity to it, has Kedusha to it. And for example, there is Kedusha in place, just as there's Kedusha in time, just as there's Kedusha insofar as an Am, a people, are concerned, there is also Kedusha in place, and that is Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, you have places that are even more sanctified. So in Eretz Yisrael, you have Yerushalayim. In Yerushalayim, you had the Beis Hamikdash, the temple. In the temple, you had the Kodesh. And then you had the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You had that part and that area in the Holy Temple, which was the Holy of Holies. As someone put it very beautifully, he said, the holiest person is supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. He is the high priest. The holiest day of the year is Yom Kippur. And on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, which is time, and the holiest person, who is the Kohen Gadol, representing the holy people of Yisrael, of the people of Israel, on the holiest day, that's the only time that he can go into the Holy of Holies. And so you can imagine what a concentration of Kedusha there is at that moment in time. Because it's in time, it's in place, and it's a tremendous concentration of Kedusha. And that's why Jews always used to call Yom Kippur by that name. They used to say, the Yom HaKadosh. You don't hear people here usually calling Yom Kippur Yom HaKadosh. Usually they call it Yom Kippur. But in reality, in Europe, they used to call it Yom HaKadosh. The Yom Kadosh. That was the holy day. But how do we define Kedusha? And notice again, when we speak of the Kohanim, they have a special Kedusha. Because if you listen carefully, or if you happen to be married to a Kohen, so you know that when the Kohen goes up to Duchat, when he goes up to bless the people, he has a special kind of a bracha. And the bracha that he has is not the bracha that we normally associate with a mitzvah. Because when we do a mitzvah, we use the expression of Asher Kedishonu b'mitzvosa. So listen to what we're saying. We are saying that the mitzvos have the power and the ability and the potency to sanctify a person. Kedishonu b'mitzvosa. When a Kohen goes up to Duchen, when he goes up to give Birchas Kohanim, he doesn't use the expression only of Kedishonu b'mitzvosa, but he adds a phrase, not on his own, but the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah gave him that phrase. And it says, Asher Kedishonu B'kdushoso shel Ahav. It's a special bracha. In other words, that we have been sanctified by the sanctity of Aaron, the sanctity of Aaron and of his descendants for all time. If you look carefully in this parsha of Tzav, so you'll see something very interesting, that when the time came to go through this ceremony, you know, the ritual, so what happened was there was dam, there was blood, taken from the sacrifice, and that blood was put al tnuch ozen Aaron Ayamonis, it was put on his right earlobe, he smeared it on his right earlobe, Moshe did, and bohen yodo Ayamonis, on his right thumb, and also bohen raglo Ayamonis, on the big toe, the right big toe. A strange kind of a ceremony. And mind you, what you're doing at this moment is you're sanctifying Aaron. And then you're going to sanctify the children of Aaron. And you're sanctifying the priestly tribe forevermore. Unto this very day. And in Eretz Yisrael, you have duchening every single day. And every day they say, B'kdushoso shel Aaron. And they bless us. What is the significance of this ceremony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe, you know, to use in order to sanctify Aharon, so that he in turn would have that special kedusha, and then in turn that would sort of like filter down to the kedusha of Am Yisrael, and that kedusha of a person, namely of a Kohen, will then be able to fit, it'll be mat'im to the kedusha of place of a Beis Hamikdash and the kedusha of a country of Eretz Yisrael. And on special days of Shabbos and Yom Tov, there will be sort of a radiation of kedusha. How do you understand that? Of course, when you go to Yom Noroyim, notice the name that we call Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there we add another dimension. We add the dimension of awe and of reverence. We don't call these days of kedusha in a generic sense. We have Rosh Hashanah, we have Shabbos Shuvah, we have Aseres Yemei Shuvah, we have Yom Kippur. But what name do we give them in general? We call them Yomim Noroim, days of awe. Apparently, the Kedusha of that particular time in turn creates a sense of awe. It creates a sense of reverence. And so we have to understand all this. Now, the consecration of Aaron. Why was it that Dam, blood, was placed, Dafke, on his right earlobe, on his right thumb, on his right toe? Incidentally, in addition to the dam, also shemen was placed there. There was oil. Oil also was placed. Now, oil always is associated with anointing and therefore with consecration. A king would be anointed. Even a prophet at times would be anointed. In other words, that's called Meshicha. We anointed a king, which in Hebrew is Meshicha, and that's where the word Mashiach comes from. In other words, the Messiah, I mean, it isn't some sort of a strange, mysterious, you know, esoteric phrase. It's a very practical phrase. We call the Messiah Mashiach because he is the anointed one. He is the one who is anointed by Hashem as any king who has the legitimacy of a Melech Yisrael is anointed. And so Mashiach means the anointed one. When the Kohen was consecrated, he was consecrated with two things, with shemen and dam, with oil and with blood. And it was placed on his ear, on his hand, and on his face. Now, there is a reason for that. And the reason for that is because of the fact that the Kohen represents the one who is supposed to be the model of Kedusha in Am Yisrael. And there you could probably begin to understand the essence of Kedusha. And it may sound strange, but somehow, you know, the 20th century man or woman, we're shaped, we're formed, our attitudes are formed and shaped, not necessarily by Torah. And so we're exposed to so many other forces that shape our attitudes. And so in our modern time, we somehow, when we think in terms of Kedusha, in terms of sanctity, so we think in terms somehow of someone who is isolated, someone who spends his time in contemplation and in reflection, and certainly is not one who is involved in the world. We see that in other faith communities that is true. In other faith communities, what would be who would be the holy man or the holy woman, for that matter? The holy man, holiness, is somehow demands isolation. In other words, get thee to a nunnery. That's what you say to the woman. Go to the nunnery. In other words, you can't be part of this world and be, as it were, the holy person, the one that is consecrated totally and completely to God. A man becomes a monk, so he lives in a monastery. Again, separated from the world. And there are disciplines and there are rules and there are regulations, but he's very much otherworldly, very much otherworldly. How does Torah, how does Judaism understand tradition? Again, Ata b'chatonu mikol ha'amon, so we say, v'kidashtonu b'mitzvaseha, each one of us has been sanctified. We're sanctified through the mitzvah. And by the same token also, when we think in terms of Kedusha, so Rashi uses a strange expression, on Kedoshim Tihiyu, so Rashi has a word. He says, Prushim Tihiyu. That seems to contradict what I am saying, because Prushim means to be separated. And here I'm saying to you that in our faith community, unlike other faith communities, we have no monasteries, we have no nunneries, and yet we say, Kedoshim, be holy, and yet we say, Prushim, be separate. But I think we can understand this and we can explain it quite readily. When Kedoshim was said to the Jewish people, Kedoshim Tihiyu, so Rashi tells us, based upon Chazal, that that command of Kedoshim was commanded to us and given to us b'hakel, when we were all gathered together. The entire Klal Yisrael were gathered together and the charge was given to them. Kedoshim Tihiyu. You should be holy. But you see, there's a deeper and more profound meaning to the word hakel. Because hakel doesn't just mean you call together a lot of people. You have a mass rally and a mass meeting. And then you give them the charge. You instruct them. You teach them. The very word hakel, or kohol, in and of itself has tremendous connotations. Because what it says to us is that you cannot isolate yourself. Hakel means you're part of a kohol. You're part of a community. And the ultimate person of Kedusha, or the ultimate level, I should say, of Kedusha, cannot be realized in solitude. It cannot be realized in isolation. It can only be manifested and translated into the kohol. It has to be part of the community. It has to be part of society, because our Torah is a Torah of this world. It's not an otherworldly Torah. It's just not another worldly Torah. And if Rashi says, Prushim to you, you should be separated, he doesn't mean isolated. He means separated. And all that we're saying to the person who wants to be holy and sacred is that you have to separate yourself from those forces in society, in the community, in the world around you, that are immoral, or that are unclean, that are impure, that are unethical. In other words, you have to separate it the way you would separate, as someone put it so well, you would separate the pesolet, you see, from the food. You would separate the chaff from the wheat. Now, when you separate the chaff from the wheat, it's in order to purify the wheat, to cleanse the wheat. And so that's what Rashi means, Prushim Tihiyu. You have to know what to separate. I once heard from a gentleman who, in the introduction to a talk that he gave, said the following. He said, it's true, he said, we are supposed to be Kedoshim. We're supposed to be holy and sacred. He says, but, and Rashi says, Prushim. He says, but if you look carefully, you really have to understand it on a different level. In Hebrew, there are two words. One word is porush. As a matter of fact, there used to be people, and there are still today. You go to Yerushalayim, go to Mea Shearim, or go to Shaare Chesed, and talk to people, they'll say, well, I'm a seventh, eighth, ninth generation, and we are from the Prushim. We're from the Prushim. And indeed, that is so. You go to the cemetery. There's a chalka there, and it's run by the Chevra Kadisha. Who's the Chevra Kadisha? Chevra Kadisha of the Prushim. Of the Prushim. You have a family. One of the old families of Yerushalayim, right, is Polish. The name of the family is Polish, including a member of the Knesset, including a vice mayor of Yerushalayim. Polish. Polish. So one of them said to me, he says, but I want you to know, he says, even though the name may be Polish, and our group may be called Prushim, he says, but we're not really Porush or Purushim. I'll tell you what we are. We are Matrishim. See, there's a difference between being a Matrish and being a Porush. A Matrish means one who separates. In other words, you control it. You make that decision. You separate that which is in your life, experience, and you separate, you know, the good from the evil. You separate the moral from the immoral. You separate the pure and the clean from that which is impure. But you're a Mafresh, you're not a Polish. You're still a Mafresh. And that's what it meant when it said that it was given Bahakil. It was given in a Kehillah, meaning with a lot of people around. And so now perhaps it begins to make sense that that strange, almost esoteric, as I said, kind of a ceremony that Aaron HaKohen went through. Because really what Moshe and what God is saying to him through Moshe, when he puts the dam and the shemen, he puts the blood and the oil on his ear, and he puts it on his hand, his thumb of his hand, and he puts it on his leg, on his foot, I should say, on the right toe of the right foot. What he's saying to him is, you're going to be a kadosh. In other words, the kedushaso shel Aharon. That's the Lashon. Kedushaso shel Aharon. It's a special kind of a kedusha, even higher than the kedusha of Am Yisrael. But don't for one moment make the mistake of thinking that you're going to be a kadosh and you're going to be, as it were, separated from everything and from life's experience. Not so. On the contrary. You have to have an ear. And you have to have a sensitive ear. And you have to be able to listen and you have to be able to hear. Indeed. You have to have not only the faculty, you know, of hearing, which is simply a faculty, but you have to have the gift of listening as well. Because if you don't listen, and if you don't hear the needs of others, and if you don't understand and you're not sensitized to the needs of the community and of the society around you, that's not a kadosh. See, a kadosh who isolates himself doesn't have to hear. He doesn't have to have an ear. And by the same token, he doesn't necessarily have to do. He doesn't necessarily have to be a man of action. Many years ago, the mayor of Bnei Brak came to our shul. Well, this goes back about 35 years ago at least. And his name was Gershton Korn, a tall fellow with a long beard. And he was one of the early pioneers of Bnei Brak. Now, when Bnei Brak was started, sleepy, dusty little town, you know, outside of, not far from Tel Aviv or from Ramat Gan. And it was founded by religious people. And then it grew into what it is today. You know, so as they say that in Bnei Brak, the stones that you throw at cars are even bigger than the stones that you have in Yerushalayim. It's because it's the Shira of the Chazon Ish, you see. So therefore, it's a very, very firm city, Bnei Brak. But in those days, there wasn't that much zealotry. And he told us the following. He said, by the Simchas Beis HaSheva, the Rambam tells us, based on the Gemara, that not everyone can participate in that Simcha. But that Simcha has to be on a very high level. Has to be on a level, indeed, of Kedusha. After all, it was held in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash during, you know, Sukkot. And so, the Rambam uses this Lashon. He says, Lo kol echad. Not everyone can participate in the simple space of Sheva, because this is a special kind of a privilege and has to be controlled and has to be done with the proper kind of kavonos, you know, proper intent. And so he says these words. He says, then who can participate? He says, Chesidim v'anshe ma'ase. Chesidim means pious people. Anshe ma'ase means men of deeds. Men of deeds. Active people. So he said, as I want to tell you, he said, our biggest problem has always been that vav. There's a vav there. Chesidim v'anshe ma'ase, which means pious people, that's one category, and men of deeds, which means that usually chesidim are not anshe ma'ase. As he said, chesidim are not anshe ma'ase. Pious people just somehow are not men of action. He said, in Bnei Brak, what we did, we took the vav away. We threw the vav out. And we said, chesidim anshe ma'aseh. We said, pious people who are men of action. And so, when you consecrate the kohen, you also put the dam and the shemen, you put it where? On his hand. You put it on the thumb of his right hand. Because what you're saying to him is, yes, you're kadosh. In other words, you're going to have kedusha. But nonetheless, even though you're going to have kedusha, But that doesn't mean that you are going to become a person that is inactive, a person who just sits in the Beis HaMedrash, or a person who just davens, who's just a chassid. No, you have to be a chassid, without the vav. You have to be able to understand and appreciate that you're going to use your yadayim as well. There's a fascinating medrash. I wanted to find the actual lashon where the medrash uses the expression based upon this pasuk of kedusha. So the medrash says something about netilas yadayim. Says, well, that's true, because when you wash, you wash your hands. So that's an aspect, a manifestation, of course, of cleanliness and of purification of tahara, but it's also kedusha. It's also share kedushon of the mitzvah sechas. It's a kedusha that comes from a mitzvah. But the medrash stresses netilas yadayim. Why? Because, as if to say, the yadayim are very important. The hands are important in kedusha as well. And that's why the blood and the oil was placed on his right hand and the thumb. And not only that, but kedusha, which is relegated to a monastery or to a nunnery, lahavdil, is very static. Very, very static. It's frozen in place, you see. On the other hand, what is dynamic? Dynamic is something that moves, something that has energy, something that doesn't stand in one place. You know, the malachim are called by a name, or they are described by a certain phrase. And how are they described? The malachim are described as follows. They are described as omdim. Angels stand. They are omdim. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yeshua, Kohen Gadol, he says to him, V'nasati l'cho mahalchim ben ha'omdim ha'elech. He says, I'm going to give you the power to be a holech, to walk, to move. Ben ha'omdim ha'elech. Meaning, among these angels, they have that tesoro, and they just stand. They're frozen in place. You know, it's static. On the other hand, he says, we believe that everything has to be dynamic. Everything has to move. You have to be a holech. A person, as long as he's alive, is a holech. Once he's not alive anymore, then unfortunately he can't be a holech anymore. When David HaMelech speaks to his son Shlomo on his deathbed, so he says to him, now I'm a holech, even if it's only to go to my death, if it's only to go to my grave, but I still can be a holech. After this, I'm not a holech anymore. I stand in one place, and I cannot move any further. Now, that's why it was put on his regal, see, on the foot, too. And notice, what was placed on the ear and on the hand and on the foot, which symbolize all these things that I have told you, namely, you know, the power to hear, the power to do, the power to walk, which is all part of what? Of Kedusha, actually. It's part of sanctity. And it's not the isolation, it's the involvement. So the answer is Dam and Shemen. See, because Dam obviously represents, blood represents the energy of man, the energy of a human being. That is Dam. What does the Torah say? Ki Adam hu hanefesh. Dam is nefesh. Dam is the life force. The life force in our Jewish symbolism, and Jewish symbolism is extremely important, as is every symbolism, Dam HaNefesh. It's the life force. And what is Shemen? Shemen, I told you before, Shemen actually is like royalty. Shemen is the anointing of a person and placing him on a special madrega. And Shemen gives a person a tremendous sense of self-worth and of self-value. And a person has to have that sense of worth and of value. Wasn't there a quote that was given a number of years ago in one of the inaugural addresses of the President of the United States when he quoted a fellow by the name of Warren, who lived in Massachusetts at the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And he gave a little talk to the people when he came back from Philadelphia, and all that he said to them was the following. He says, now we're independent, we're free. He says, but always remember this. Be worthy of yourself. Be worthy of yourself. A simple little statement, isn't it? And yet, if a person accepts that, to be worthy of himself or herself, it changes your whole attitude. You have to have that sense of self-worth. And that's really what royalty is all about. That's what we, true royalty. I'm not speaking about artificial royalty. And that's the shemen. See, that's the oil. And so the shemen and the dam was placed on these three parts of the body for that reason. However, we must also realize that Kedusha does not function in a vacuum in the other direction either. I just told you Kedusha, sanctity, has to come down into the world. Kedusha has to be part of society, part of the community, and it's not separation in the full sense of the word. It's only separation from that which is evil and ugly and non-productive and destructive. But it's not separation from anything else. And on the other hand, it means not to involve. But there's the Kedusha that goes in the other direction as well. It's interesting that the Chazal use an expression, and they say that when it says Kedoshim to you, so it says, Ki Kadosh ani Hashem Elokei, because I, your God, I am Kadosh. And then the Medrash uses this expression. It says, Kedushasi lamalo mikdushaschem, my Kedusha, God says, almost like he's protesting. He says, although you're going to be Kedoshim, you're going to be holy, but my Kedusha, my holiness, my sanctity is higher than your sanctity. That's one side of the coin. But the other side of the coin is interesting. The other side of the coin says, imatem mekachim atzmechem, if you will sanctify yourself, then ma'ala ani alechem ki'ilu kidashtem osi. It's as though you sanctified me. That's Kiddush Hashem, right? So we have this concept of Kiddush Hashem, the sanctification of God's name. And Kiddush Hashem, which normally, usually, we associate with martyrdom, was not so. Martyrdom is the exception. Kiddush Hashem is not by dying. Kiddush Hashem is by living. I mean, that's where your greatest Kiddush Hashem is. What do we say to a person? Person is a from Jew, and he's unethical in his business practices. Chilul Hashem, that's the desecration of God's name. A fellow is a from Jew, and he's a decent person. He conducts himself properly. Everyone sees it. He's honest, and he's ethical, and he's helpful, and he's caring, and he's concerned for others. So what do we say? The Kiddush Hashem. That's the greatest Kiddush Hashem. So you see, the Kedusha Hashem comes from whom? It comes from us. And yet our Kedusha also comes from God. Because we cannot have Kedusha without Hashem. So when God says to us, Kedushasi lamala mikdushasem, what he means is, my Kedusha is there up above. It filters down to you below. But it's a two-way street. Because through your actions and deeds, you're also mekadesh me. You also sanctify me as well. So we see that this concept of Kedusha being tied together, sort of linked together. When the Pusik says that God says, Yaakov Chevel Nachalosi, he calls Yaakov by an interesting name. And Yaakov, he means the people of Israel, the descendants of Jacob. Chevel Nachalosi. Chevel is a rope. See, it's a rope. Why does he use that expression, Chevel? But Chevel also has other meanings. If you look in the Parshas of Mashal Pinchas, when it talks about Yerusha Sa'aretz, the inheritance of the land, so a section is called Chevel also. Chevel is a section. Chevel is a rope. But the reason why he calls us Chevel Nachalosi, meaning the rope of my inheritance, God talks of us as his inheritance, Marusha Kehilas Yaakov. So the answer is because there has to be that link. There's constantly that link. And the link cannot be severed. It's like a rope that holds us together because the Kedusha flows in two directions. Now, it's interesting. In the program, it mentions Kedusha on the one hand, sanctity, and talks about awe. You know, that's simply Yira. That would be Yira. Now, what does God want from us? Only one thing, you should have awe and reverence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here again, look how it was sort of concretized, and it was made something that was real, not just philosophical. Tefillin Shavuot Rosh. A person puts on tefillin. Puts on tefillin on his arm, puts on tefillin on his head. So, there's a pasuk in the Torah, and the Gemara tells us that pasuk refers to tefillin Shavuot Rosh. It refers to the tefillin that's on the head. And what is that pasuk? V'ro kol amei ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikra alecha. When all the nations of the world will see that God's name dwells on you, v'yoru mimecha. Now there the yira is a different kind of yira. There the yira really means they'll be afraid of you. And not just afraid of you, but in awe. They'll stand in awe. And imagine, the yira that we have for Hashem is transferred down to us through the medium of the tefillin Shavuot Rosh, and that in turn has its impact on others. Beautiful story told about the Alter Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Balat Tanya. Eitel the Balat Tanya was once imprisoned. He was put in jail. And there was a billboard of slander against him. They put him in jail. Now, when he was in jail, they allowed him to have his tefillin. So, the first morning, he put on his talis and his tefillin, and the jailer, you know, in charge of that, him, that cell, came. He looked at the Rebbe, and he became frightened. And he turned around and, like, ran away. He ran away. He was scared to stand there. So, later, one of the Jewish prisoners had an opportunity to speak to the Rebbe, and he said to me, you know, he said, I noticed what happened. He says, but I've been here a while, and I also put on film. But when I put on my film, the jailer is not impressed. He's not impressed. He's not scared of me. He says, why is it in your case it was so different? So the Rebbe said to him, did you ever stop to think of the Lashon? The phraseology. The Gemara says, the nations of the world will see how that the tefillin is on your head, they'll be afraid of you, they'll stand in awe of you. So the Gemara says, Elo tefillin sheberosh. It doesn't say Elo tefillin al harosh. Interesting. It doesn't say the tefillin that are on the head. It says, Elo tefillin sheberosh. It's in there. So he says, apparently, he says, when I wore my tefillin, the jailers saw that my tefillin were not al harosh. They were berosh. They were in my head. And in your case, superficial. It's just al harosh. It's just on there. But that is the aspect, and that is the meaning, the significance, you know, of the Kedusha, Kedushosi Lamalu Mikudra Shasta. My Kedusha, God says, is higher than this. But it doesn't stay up there, it comes down to you. You, in turn, if you're Makadish yourself, you're Makadish me. And from Kedusha also comes the Yira as well. There comes that sense of awe and of reverence. Because, mind you, our concept of Yira is not one of just fear. Now, that's a mistake that many people make. I remember once listening to a modern rabbi who gave a whole lecture on Yiron Ahava. Spoke about the idea of love and fear. And he was criticizing this whole concept of fear. He says, you can't have fear of God. There has to be love of God. There shouldn't be fear of God. Because love is much more important than fear. And what he didn't understand was that the word Yiras Hashem or Yira Shemayim does not mean fear. It's a different special kind of fear. And the Kutzker Rebbe probably described it the best. He said, if you're afraid of an animal, of a wild beast, what do you try to do? You try to put as much distance between yourself and that which you're afraid of. If you saw a lion coming towards you, you wouldn't go over and say, you know, pat him on the head. You would run so fast and you try to put as much distance between you as that lion that's coming towards you. That's fear. That's fear. Just look in the Torah. and you'll see how the Torah couples the fear of God with something else. You know what the Torah couples it with? The Torah couples it with the Atem HaDvekim Hashem Elokeinu. The Torah couples it that you should cleave to God. Well, what do you mean you're going to cleave to God? You just told me that I should have fear of God. And now you tell me I should cleave to God. Cleaving is coming closer and closer. But the answer is, the right kind of awe and reverence doesn't mean that you want to be far away. The more awe that you have for Hashem, the closer you want to be. Soma l'cho nafshi, Dovra Melech says. My soul, no thirst for you. And that's Dveikus. What's Dveikus? Dveikus is when a person davens. And if he davens the right way, so he actually is almost like is elevated from this world. He goes outside of himself and he cleaves to God. But there can be no tefillah without yira. There can be no tefillah without that sense of awe and reverence. And so ahava and yira are not contradictory. On the contrary, they're complementary. You have ahavas Hashem, you have yiras Hashem. Except that we have to understand what that yira means. Now, I want to discuss again the Kedusha of Am Yisrael. And the Kedusha of Am Yisrael has another expression, very interesting expression. V'hiskadishtem v'hiyisem kedoshim. Three words. V'hiskadishtem v'hiyisem kedoshim. You shall make yourself holy, sanctify yourself, and you shall be holy. So it's very interesting. Why does the Torah sort of speak of Kedusha as a word in a double sense, twice? Hiskadishtem, v'yisem kedoshim. Torah doesn't repeat words, you know, just for emphasis. The Torah says a word twice, there's a reason for saying that word twice. As a matter of fact, the Midrashim point out to us that Hashem kaviyachol, His Kedusha is only one. Ki Kodosh Ani, Hashem Elokeinu. The word Kodosh is once, Kodosh. The Kedusha of angels, they say Kodosh three times. They say Kodosh, Kodosh, Kodosh. But their Kedusha, Chazal teach us, is also only one, single. So their Kedusha is one. God, Kaviyachol, His Kedusha is one. And our Kedusha is double, two. So there's a fascinating interpretation that is given to that, but I've always found it tremendously meaningful and significant, and it's exactly that which we have been discussing, you know, since the beginning of our lecture. And that is, what is Echad? What is Aleph is Echad? Right? Two, that's Beis. Beis is two. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Aseres HaDibros begins with what letter? Begins with an Aleph. Begins with an Aleph. Because Hashem Echad, God is one. God is one. How does the Torah begin? The Torah begins with a Beis. Gracious for all the king. And the Medrash says that the Aleph was upset. The Aleph was upset. And the Aleph came and complained, why do you begin the Torah with the second letter? I'm the first letter, I'm Aleph. So God said, don't be upset. I'll use you for the Aseres HaDibros. I'll use you for the Ten Commandments. I'll use you then. Torah is Aleph. But the story of creation has to begin with Beis. And you know why? Because that's the story of creation. That's the history of creation. And that's the essence of creation and of creativity. That it cannot be done alone. Child can't be born from one. Can't be. There's no such thing as immaculate conception. In other words, you have to have two. Beis is bria. The Hebrew word is bria. Beis is two. Has to be two. There's a man and a woman. They give birth to a child. That is bria. They're not just reproduction. That's true in the whole whole world of nature. And that's true in society. That society cannot grow and develop just through isolation, alone, one. God is one. So I told you, the Malachim also, their Kedusha is one. But there's a difference even between the Kedusha of the one of Hashem and of the Malachim, of the angels. And this is the difference. Because when we speak in terms of one, so the Svarim tell us a very profound thought. They say one can either represent Shlemus, you know, Shlemus means perfection, completeness, that's Shlemus. But one can also represent Tzimtzum. And Tzimtzum means confinement. Something that's confined, that doesn't spread out, that doesn't grow. Understand? Again, what I said to you before, static. That's something that's static. That's Tzimtzum. You know, I'm sort of hemmed in. I can't move. Who can't move? Who's an omeid? A malach. A malach is an omeid. He stands in one place. He can't move. So, is the other one. That's the Shlemus. Total, complete, and utter perfection and completion. That's why it's one. Mankind is not one. It's neither Tzimtzum, nor is it Shlemus. We're not perfect. Nor are we confined. Nor are we in a narrow place that we cannot break out of it and develop and grow. That's why we have two Kedushos, not one. Because two Kedushos represents the Bays of Bria, of creation. And that means there can be reproduction, there can be production, there can be growth and progress. That's why V'hiskadishtem V'hiskan Kedushim. It's a twofold Kedusha. It's a double kind of a Kedusha. But that only makes sense if Kedusha is what I told you. That Kedusha is not isolation. Kedusha doesn't mean confinement. And Kedusha doesn't mean that I separate myself from the world. On the contrary, I'm very much part of it. That's why I have two Kedushas. Not because I am greater than the Malachim in that sense. And certainly, Chas V'Shalom, I can't even begin to compare myself to the deity. What it means is I have two Kedushas because that is the nature given to man, and that's the mission that was given to man. And that's why gracious Baruch Elohim is the Shemayim Vesaretz. God doesn't need this earth. He has heaven. He has heaven. We were given this earth. And this earth, from the very first letter, was base, was gracious. And that's why the Yiskadishtim, the Yisim Kedoshim, the Kedusha has to be base. Also has to be too. But a word of caution. And the word of caution is one that, again, was said by one of the Gedolei HaChassidim. I'm not sure exactly whether it was the Tuska, whether it was the Nivaka, whether it was one of the others, but I always remember this beautiful book. The word of caution. We live with tension. We have to live with tension. See, because if we're going to keep on stressing the fact that we have to be mafrishi, we have to know how to separate. But we shouldn't be prushi. We separate, but we should not be separated. We have a double Kedusha because we are not mitzumtzam, you see. We have to grow. We have to produce. But then again, you got to be careful. Because you need disciplines. And you need gevulin, right? You must have boundaries. You must have boundaries. Without boundaries, you're lost. Someone once quoted a fable where they said, not a fable, I should say, this was in a book, in a novel, but they quote a story told about the ancient maps. So when maps were made before people knew what was doing beyond, you know, their limited space, so they had a picture of the continent, of Europe, they had water, they knew there was water, and then there was that big water, you know, the Atlantic. They didn't have necessarily the names for it, but they knew there was a lot of water surrounding the landmass. As far as they knew, this was it. This was the world. And so, at the end of the page, where the water finishes, so the cartographer had written as follows. He said, beyond this point are monsters. Beyond this point are monsters. So this author writes, he says, he was right. He was right. Because you always have to remember that beyond a certain point, there are monsters. And if you don't believe me, just go out to the streets of New York. You see, once you don't have boundaries, you don't have gvulin, you don't have limitations, and you don't have lines of demarcation, then beyond that point are monsters. See, that's what happens, monsters. So we have to be careful, even insofar as our own, you know, Derech HaChaim. Where do we say we're human beings, and we have to allow ourselves to live as human beings? And there's nothing wrong, you know, with our appetites and our passions and our desires, on the one hand. And on the other hand, yeah, we're human. And on the other hand, no, there are limitations. Beyond this point are monsters. How do we understand? Kadeshim Tihi, the Hakel, part of the community. Totally? Do I immerse myself totally and completely? Or do I hold back a little bit? And you and I know that's exactly what we do. We immerse ourselves into the community and the society around us, and yet we hold ourselves back also. We control ourselves. We discipline ourselves. That's what we teach our children. So he said, Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest of all men. And the Gemara tells us that Shlomo HaMelech also made two takanos. There were two ordinances that he instituted, and that's with us to this very day. You may not know that Shlomo HaMelech was the one who instituted the concept of Netilas Yadayim, washing the hands, to remove the tumah, to remove the impurities. Okay, that's one, Netilas Yadayim. What was the other thing that he instituted? The other thing he instituted was Eruvei Chatzeros, the Eruvim, you know, when you have a lot of people living in one courtyard, and you want to be able to carry on Shabbos, so what do you make? Make an Eruv. Now, Eruvei Chatzeros, what does it do? It says, all these houses are as one, and therefore you're allowed to carry. That's really the Eruv of the community as well. You make an Eruv, what are you saying? It's all like one area, it's one yard. That's Eruvei Chatzeros. And that's Shlomo HaMelech Institute. So this Rebbe said, he said, if you want to look at it carefully, he says, you can interpret this on a different level. What does Eruvei Chatzeros say? Eruvei Chatzeros says, we're all going to be part of one another. We're all going to be involved with one another. We're all going to be like one. Total involvement. That's Eruvei Chatzeros. No privacy. No isolation. That's Eruvei Chatzeros. He says, Netilas Yadayim, he says, translate those two words literally. Not the mitzvah. But literally, what does Netilas Yadayim mean? Netilas Yadayim means you take and remove your hand. Netilas Yadayim. You take your hand and you remove it. So he says, you know, he says, that's the secret of life. The secret of life is, on the one hand, Erevin, you're part of everybody, you're with everybody, you're a social animal, and on the other hand, you say, no, I have to know also when to remove my hand. I have to remove myself sometimes. I have to have space. You know, the din is that the osios in the Torah, the letters in the Torah, if one letter touches another letter, it's possible. It's no good. Space. You don't think it was just our kids about in the 60s, you know, who came up with the idea, I need my space. I need space. Everyone needs space. An os in the Sefer Torah needs space. A letter in the Sefer Torah needs space. If it touches the other letter, it's possible. But by the same token, the letters of the Sefer Torah have to be close enough one to another that they spell out a word. If you're going to put a beis here and a reish here and the aleph there, you don't have reishes. You have to put them together, but they shouldn't touch. So you have to have both things. And that's why Shlomo was such a chacham. His wisdom was that he understood this balance, that there had to be the Eruvei Chatzeros, you're together, but there also has to be Netilas Yadayim, you remove. And you have your corner, you have your privacy, and you have your own standards that you have to live by. and your own wisdom. And that's really the totality of Kedusha. The totality of Kedusha is Bahakel, part of the whole community, and by the same token, Kedusha is also really crucial, separation. And so you have both the Netilas Yadayim and you have the Eruvin. And that's really, again, the twofold. The Skadishtem, the Sankadosha. There's two kinds of Kedusha. If we can at least aim for it, I don't say we're going to reach it, but at least we can aim for it. So, as a Browning who once said, a man's reach should exceed his grasp, else what's the heaven?